The scripture reading tonight will be from 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 22, if you would like to follow along. 1 Peter 1, 22 through 25, and then chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. 1 Peter 1, 25, or 1, 22. Yeah, 122. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brother, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and of all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tested that the Lord is good.
Good evening, everyone. I'm glad you put that third verse in there that I forgot to put in there. How are you all tonight? Have a good lunch? Got a little nap? Looking good? This morning I wanted to add to something I said. You know, I said the Word of God, I held it out here and I said, is this perfect? I didn't mean that I was questioning its ability or accuracy. And I know that it is the revelation that we have and that what we have is sufficient for our salvation and for our growth. But what I meant was that, for example, when Paul talked about the vision that he had, and he said, I saw things that tongue cannot speak, things that are indescribable. Those are the things that I'm talking about that we can't see now in the Word of God, but that we will see when we're face to face with God. You see what I mean? I know the Bible is sufficient for our purposes, but there's more to learn when we get there. That was my point. Well, tonight, I wanted to talk about the fact that we're born to grow, and I hope that you'll see that this is not the idea of just numerically, but also in becoming more and more mature in Christ, becoming more and more equipped to serve. And in fact, it's through serving, often, that we become the most equipped. Doesn't the teacher always learn more than the student? I believe so. That's been my experience, that the teacher has to learn more than the student in order to be well-rounded and ready to teach. And therefore, the teacher, and when you bounce something off of your students, it always comes back to you with a little more, you know? Like, okay, now I see how they're perceiving that, or maybe I should have added this. And it just makes you think. The teacher always learns more than the student. John was starting out his preaching by mentioning repeatedly, over and over, that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. And what I mean by that, what he means by that, nearby, coming soon. It was something that God had planned. It was something in the overall purpose of God from before the foundation of the earth that there would be a kingdom and that his son would be the head of that kingdom and that someday that kingdom would be handed over to him. And so God was planning it, was establishing it, and is continuing it. So that's what John was preaching. But it's not only what John was preaching. Jesus also was preaching the very same thing, that the gospel, the good news of the kingdom of heaven was at hand. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Matthew 4:23, Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. Matthew 6:33, Jesus was showing them that it was the first thing on their list. It was top priority, where he says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All the things that others in the world would seek after, all the things they might seek after, number one, kingdom of God. Jesus taught the disciples to pray for the kingdom to arrive. Pray then in this way, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Part of God's plan. Jesus was there to help carry that out. So much could be said about the kingdom of heaven. Good seed in a field, mustard seed, leaven, treasure hidden in a field, pearl of great price. We have some of those here with us today. Great value, the pearls. A dragnet, gathering every kind of fish and sorting out that which was bad and keeping that which was good. Some of them would see it before their death. Matthew 16:28, truly I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. So there are false doctrines out there today that have all kinds of theories about a kingdom that hasn't come yet, or have theories about how the church was established because they didn't know Jesus was going to be crucified, and just all kinds of conundrums which are ridiculous. God had planned this, and He had His preachers preach this, and it was established in Jesus Christ. And those who were the first baptized on the day of Pentecost were the ones who were entering that kingdom. It was there. Just as Jesus said, some of you guys will see this before you die. Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4, and indeed they did see it. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Acts 2, 38 through 40, Peter said to them, so that was the beginning of what would happen. Peter would preach a sermon. Here's the sermon, and it says, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to Himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So what happens next? Well, 3,000 people were born again, newborns in the kingdom of God, listening, learning, growing, continuing day by day. So then those who had received his word were baptized. And that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's growth. And to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. So they were together. They were loving each other. They had the agape. They were in the presence of the apostles. All was good and well. And they were growing. And God was adding to their number. Colossians 1, 13 through 14. We get the idea of being transferred from the tomb to the womb to be born again. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness. That's where the devil tries to control you. And transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. That's where you've given yourself to God. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. 3,000 and adding, Acts 2, 46 through 47, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. 3,000 and adding and adding and adding and adding. How about 5,000? How about that? As they were speaking, Acts 4, 1 through 4, as they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to them, being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the message believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. If it's men, 5,000, then there's probably Oh, we'll look around. What's our ratio of man to woman here? What's the normal ratio of man to woman in the church? Oftentimes there's a lot more women in the church than men. So there were at least 10,000 folks. The church was growing and growing and growing in number, and they were growing and growing in maturity due to the fact that they were daily in the apostles' teaching. 5,000 and adding and adding and adding. Acts 5, 12 through 14, at the hands of the apostles. Many signs and wonders were taking place among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico, that's at the temple. But none of the rest dared to associate with them. However, the people held them in high esteem, and all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women, were constantly added to their number. Multitudes means thousands. Thousands and thousands and thousands were being added to their number. Amen? Adding and adding and adding and adding. The kingdom was born to grow to such an extent that they even carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on cots and pallets so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on any one of them. Also, the people from the cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. Wow, God was showing that this was the real deal. 1 Peter 1:13 through 16, we are born again, and we are born again to become like the one who gave us the new birth, the one who gives us the new life, God and Jesus, our Saviors. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lust which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Your daddy tells you to do something, and you ask why? Because I said so. God tells us to do something. You ask why? Because he's holy, and he wants us to be holy like him. Like newborn babies, we are born to grow more and more like our Father. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. God wants to have thousands and thousands and thousands and millions and millions and millions of people in his kingdom. And he wants each one of those persons to grow and become more and more able to know him, more and more able to tell others about him, more and more able to serve him in his kingdom. When we grow, we are to serve in our very special family, our very special family that God has put us in. And when we serve, we grow. 1 Peter 2, 4 through 5. And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. These are things that people who are not his children are not invited to do until they first become his children. And as we grow in becoming his children, we are more able and able and able to do these things as we mature in Jesus to become more and more like him and more like God. 2 Peter 1 through 2, Peter had seen the kingdom when it came. It came before he died, just like Jesus said it would. Everything that Jesus promised Peter came true. Everything that Jesus promises will come true. Peter had seen it, Peter was in it, and he was doing his best to help others enter it too. 2 Peter 1, 1 through 2, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 4, Peter was assuring Christians that they had been given everything needed to live and to grow and to serve and to grow and to serve. And that's what I meant when I said the Bible gives us everything we need through the knowledge of God that we find in the Bible. But there's more to be seen when we see him face to face. Those things that Paul said could not be spoken with a human mouth We will see when we see him face to face. Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. Jesus wants to take you away from all of that, put you into a place where you focus your eyes on him, the one who ran before you. Peter encouraged Christians to grow in seven key areas. Now, for this very reason, also applying all diligence, in your faith supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence knowledge, and in your knowledge self-control, and in your self-control perseverance, and in your perseverance godliness, and in your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. Excuse me. That's a whole lot like this morning's lesson, wasn't it? Except for the coughing. A whole lot like what we had this morning, the agape love. Bring all those things into your lives and increase them. Then you're a growing Christian. You're getting beyond the milk. You're into the meat. You're into the service of the Lord. 2 Peter 1, 8 through 9. And here are some very important reasons why. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope my prayers aren't vain and repetitious, but that's something that I always pray for, that I and others will be useful and fruitful, so that we won't be useless and unfruitful. I want to be useful. I want to be fruitful in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, using what I know to serve him and others. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. When did that purification happen? When we believe that he is Christ, we repent of our sins, we are baptized into him for the forgiveness of our sins, and he makes us pure, newborn people, ready to serve him, ready to grow, and ready to serve. 2 Peter 1, 10 through 11, and more of the very important reasons why. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Putting into practice those things you're learning about God your Father and Jesus Christ your brother. Paul shows this is and always was God's intention for us. It's part of his big plan that he made equippers to serve the church, the body of Christ, to serve God, to prepare the body of Christ for works of service to God and to Christ. Ephesians 4, 11 and following, and he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. And you see, that's kind of a chronological situation. He started with the apostles and the prophets of the first century, and then the evangelists were the ones that they taught, and then shepherds, pastors, overseers, and teachers in the church continuing what was taught. He gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Now that goes from milk to maturity, amen? We've seen both sides of it, right? Newborns, milk, and now maturity. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. All of those references to a body or any body part, that would be a reference to us. Us working together for the edification of the body, the church, in love. Birth, growth, and maturity, reproduction, growth in number, this is growth by God's design. It's just like it was in the book of Genesis, Genesis 1, 11 through 12. Then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, fruit trees on the earth, bearing fruit after their kind, with seed in them. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. God's plan for reproduction. Reproduction. Thank you. Somebody help me here. Anyway, you know what I mean. And what must be planted in the case of the kingdom? What must be planted is the Word of God. The Word of God is that which contains the life-giving substance, the thing that becomes a plant, the thing that becomes a baby, so to speak, a thing that becomes mature, a person. Now the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. What must be planted? The Word of God. So we should go and we should grow and we should sow and we should pray. Look at what Jesus said to those 70 that he was sending out in Luke chapter 10. Now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. And he was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. We need to be spreading the seed. We need to be praying. We need to be going. We need to be sowing. We need to be praying. There's a world full of false knowledge out there as a result of bad seed. Things that are called truth but aren't truth. But there's one solution and always has been, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. Brethren, my heart's desire, Paul says of Romans chapter 10 of his own countrymen, brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is that for their salvation. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Now, Paul was writing this about his fellow people who were Jews in the flesh. And these people were still clinging to the law of Moses, but not just to the law of Moses. If you remember from this morning's lesson, what was it that they were so hung up on about the fact that this man who was born blind was made able to see? It was because of their tradition saying that it was not right to do things like that, to heal people like that on the Sabbath. That was not the Word of God. That was coming from their own tradition, from their own hearts, from their own minds, and it was something that they were binding on themselves and each other. And this is why they couldn't see the righteousness of Jesus, because they had created a false righteousness of their own. Pray. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 2. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. Pray. We were born to grow. God gives us opportunity, and when we have times of peace and prosperity, we ought to be using that time to grow. True knowledge, salvation, reproduction, and growth, and Jesus, the one solution. Continuing what Paul said, first of all, then I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. So God is looking for people to come to him, to have salvation, being born again, and to grow and to reproduce and to serve. And the only way that can happen is in Jesus Christ, the Lord. God's plan of reproduction is by making reproducers, just like the tree with the fruit with the seed. 2 Timothy 2:1-2, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Timothy had been given the seed, the word of God. Timothy had come to maturity. Timothy was now ready to teach others, to teach others who would teach others, who would teach others, who would teach others, reproducers of the word of God. Soldiers on duty. 2 Timothy 2:3-4. "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier." In our Bible class this morning, we were talking about idolatry and all the things that people would divert their attention away from God in order to seek. And here God is saying, look, you're like soldiers. You need to focus on the service that is before you. And he's saying, you're like athletes. You need to focus on the event that is before you. He says also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. And he says, and you guys are like farmers. You ought to be out there working and sowing and reaping and harvesting. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Whatever our place in this world, whatever it is that we do, we ought to be doing it to the glory of God and for the growth of the kingdom, both numerically and in maturity. And we hear the voice of Jesus sending the workers to the field. "Now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. And he was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." So as we read before, another reminder, this is the voice of Jesus. As he sends these men out, he was saying to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore beseech, that means pray to, ask of the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. "Go. Behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money belt, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking what they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from house to house." Nat Cooper was telling of a time when he was in Russia, and he was applying this to himself and the others that were there going from house to house preaching. And the Russians were very poor, but they wanted to feed them. And so one day what they got to eat was an onion sandwich. And so he said, well, we remembered what the Lord said to the 70 that they sent out, to eat whatever is set before you. So they ate their onion sandwich. "Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat what is set before you and heal those who in it who are sick, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, even the dust of your city, which clings to our feet, we wipe off and protest against you. Yet be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near." We are in the kingdom of God. We are part of it. And for those who are here that are not yet a part of it, the kingdom of God is very, very near. All you have to do is obey Jesus' teaching to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and enter that kingdom when you're born again. Luke 10:12-15, I say to you, it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. What city? The one who rejects the teaching of God when the kingdom of God came near. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the miracles had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will be brought down to Hades. We must be born again. We must not refuse the voice of him who calls us. We must not refuse, we must not ignore the evidence that is around us. The one who listens to you, he says, listens to me. And the one who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. We must be born again. And in God's plan, we were born to grow. We were born to mature. We were born to serve. And we were born to reproduce. So you can see how amazingly fast the kingdom was growing, amen? It went from 3,000 to thousands and thousands and thousands, whereas multitudes were being added day by day. They came in with a very little bit of knowledge, just very basic. They finally came to believe that Jesus Christ was the Lord, that he was crucified because of jealousy or other ambitions, but that he was crucified as a sacrifice, a propitiation, a ransom for us. And that in order to be saved, they would have to be baptized into him, into his death, be buried with him in the waters in order to rise again to live a new life. And as they continued in the apostles' teaching, surely they were learning that they were to grow and that they were to go and that they were to sow and that they were to serve. Well, I hope this has been helpful and edifying to everyone here tonight, and I hope that My coughing didn't upset you too much. I'm going to have to drink some Coca-Cola or something before I come up here next time. But if there's anything we can do for you this evening in regard to prayers or baptism, now is the time that the church has set aside for you to come forward and let us know. And if you can't come forward right now and let us know, you want to let us know another time, you want to let us get together with you and talk about this, study with us, receive more information, individual lessons, anything that you want that we can help you with, let us know now or soon, as soon as possible. But you're welcome to come as we stand and as we sing.